What's going on, guys? Welcome to a really special episode of Easy Talk Live, only on Easy Way Broadcast and powered by WTV Networks. I'm your host, Eric Zuli, EZ, here on Blog Talk Radio. And as you guys know, we've been tweeting it out, posting it out, blogging it out, putting it out there. A really amazing gentleman doing a lot of amazing things. And today's show is co-hosted by Dante. We got Dante Reporter in the house. What's up, Dante?
What's up, hey?
What's up, brother? All right, so guys, I hope you are ready. Remember, the call-in lines is 914-338-1303. We have Michael Beckwith. We have Michael Bernard Beckwith. Michael Bernard Beckwith is the founder of the Agape International Spiritual Center, author, spiritual liberation, originator of the life visioning process. Michael Bernard Beckwith is the founder of the spiritual, he's a spiritual director of the Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, author of the award-winning book, Spiritual Liberation. And see, I already got people calling in for him, man. You guys got to hold on. Sorry. And most recent releases, Transcend Dance and Life Visioning Transformative. I'm just demolishing your bio here, Michael. You're going to have to kill me when you get in. Transformative Process of Activating Your Unique Gifts and Highest Potential. Beckwith has appeared on Oprah's show, Larry King Live, Tavis Smiley, and he has his own PBS special. He's been in his own PBS special, The Answer Is You. A sought-after speaker and meditation teacher, Michael has been the recipient of numerous humanitarian awards. Every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, thousands tune in to his radio show on KPFK, Wake Up, The Sound of Transformation, as he hosts renowned guests who share their lifetime-tested tools and transforming body, mind, and spirit. Man, this guy is a cool guy. His name is Michael Bernard Beckwith. He's on the show today. Michael Bernard Beckwith, thank you so much for joining us today.
Brother Eric, Brother Dante, it is my joy to be with you today on this fine Los Angeles day full of sunshine and great opportunities for us to become more, never less than our true self. Thank you for having me.
I hope I didn't demolish your bio there too bad there, Michael.
No, everything is lovely. The bio is just a bio, but here I'm here with you live, so that's all that matters.
That's what it is, man. We're about to get live. We're about to get live the easy way. First of all, I want to start out by saying thank you so much for doing what you do, man, tweeting and Dante, thank you so much for bringing your cousin on. I mean, this is your family, you know. And, you know, Dante is our vice. He's our vice president of Easy Way Broadcasting, and there's more than meets the eye with Dante, man. So we got family on the line here, and we're going to have some fun. I hope you guys are ready.
I'm ready.
Absolutely. Okay, Michael, back in 1985, Science of the Mind, you got your ministry, I believe, in 1985. I believe you were 29 years old at the time, right?
You know, I don't know how old I was, but yeah, I think I was in my 20s.
See, I'm aging him already.
No, I guess, about me than I know about me.
There you go. The first question is, you got your ministry in 85. You started the Agape Church in 86. So
right.
You must have had a vision back in 83, 84, 85 that you were going to go into the ministry and do something. What was that vision? What propelled you in that direction?
Well, the previous years before I started Agape, I was a spiritual therapist for about 7 years. And I did seminars, did workshops, and did a lot of one-on-one work. I saw 6 to 8, 9, 10 people every single day working with individuals. And I was teaching in the School of Ministry at the time. And I was pulled into doing a larger work. I resisted it for a period of time until I could no longer resist it anymore. And at one point, I think I was in Puerto Vallarta, and I had a tremendous vision of this spiritual community that would, of course, house everyone, all ethnicities, sexual orientation, people from all around the world, under the banner of worshiping and celebrating the One Presence. I had significant dreams along that time, too, in which would give me, they were like breadcrumbs, showing me the possibility of this community. At the time, I didn't know how I was going to do it. The dream seemed way bigger than me. But eventually, I gave up my resistance and said yes to it, and it began to unfold. So when we did the vision process, that which I originated for Agape, one of the things that came out of it was we wanted to actually represent the next stage of human evolution and actually show what it looks like for people of all walks of life to be together under one roof, rather than
right.
have a theory about it and have an academic knowledge about it. We actually wanted to be those people. And when you look
exactly.
back now, 28 years later, that's what's happening.
Okay. Okay. So it's been over 20 years now, and it's evolved into what it has. Obviously, the omnipresence of Agape is immeasurable, and in a universe that says yes, I would ask where you think the direction is headed from here. It's grown exponentially since you
right.
got into it with the New Thought Ministry.
Well, now what's happening with the advent, of course, of technology, our global presence has really increased. We have almost every country in the world that tunes in and watches via live stream. Many of the people hook it up to their televisions and watch it, and we have groups that are establishing themselves around the live feed. And so that's one footprint that's beginning to happen now. So Agape is becoming a destination point for people all around the world. On any given Sunday, I can ask the live streamers to raise their hands or to stand up, and they're from all parts of the United States and all parts of the world just coming to visit Agape. And so our global presence has magnified. And then the message of unity, the message of oneness, the message of compassion, the message of kindness, the message of peace, they're becoming real in people's hearts again. You know, we seek to make peace cool. We seek to make spirituality cool so that people don't see it as a very serious but a reverential endeavor to be your best self. So I see that happening. I also see us now expanding and actually developing a campus, because we'd always grown so fast that any time we would grow into something, it would be time to move out. So we're looking to find land to actually have a campus in which we'll have our wonderful schools for our children, our Taste of Agape restaurants, our meditation gardens, our sanctuary, meditation garden, university, you know, all the things that a city would have. This would be a spiritual city in which people can come in and get the best food, the best groceries, and the best spiritual food as well.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Now, a lot of people around the world, when you mention the name Michael Beckwith, they bring up the word The Secret. Obviously, that's one of the most transformational books of our time. And you, obviously, one of the authors, and with some of the most conscientious, transforming, and innovative minds and motivational hierarchy. How were you asked to be a part of that? And then tell us a little bit about The Secret, too.
Right. Well, you know, a number of my colleagues had told me about their participation or their participation that they were going to be a part about in The Secret, and I hadn't met the woman Rhonda Burns, and there was a meeting in which a lot of my colleagues and spiritual teachers were meeting in Aspen for a particular weekend, doing I forgot what the meeting was about, but I couldn't make it. I had some other plans, so I couldn't make it. So they shot it in Aspen. Rhonda Burns, who was, of course, the producer of this particular book and movie, on her way back to Australia, stopped and had a layover in Los Angeles, came to Agape and saw me speak. And after I finished speaking, she says, "You've got to be in my movie." And I said, "What's the name of your movie?" And she said, "It's called The Secret." And I said, "Oh, yeah, a couple of my colleagues had told me about it." And she said, "You know, I have my camera equipment here. I have my director. Can we shoot it?" And I said, "Yes." I just felt good about it. And so I think either that day, that afternoon, or the next morning, they put up a green screen, and we shot. And she began to ask me questions. And after a while, she said, "You know what? I'm not going to ask you any questions. Just flow. Just, you know, it's what we're talking about. Just talk." And I did. And then I never even thought about it again until a little time later, I received this DVD in the mail saying, "Thank you for your participation. This is the movie, The Secret. It'll be out soon." And my wife and I, Ricky, we looked at it on television. And Ricky said, this is going to be big." And I said, "You think so?"
Wow.
And she said, "Yeah, I think so. This is going to be really big." And I had no idea how big it would get. I was just participating and being myself. And subsequently, it became all the rage for a while, and it became an entry point for many people to begin to discover the universal laws of manifestation and evolution, and giving people an opportunity to have more dominion over their own life and not think that everything is just accidental or that there are forces out there that can prevent your destiny. So it became an entry point, a very elementary entry point for people to come in to discover, you know, the deeper meaning of life.
Okay. Okay, now, at the time that you guys did The Secret, we obviously didn't know that it would have the success that it did. Now that we do.
Right.
And you're working on The Secret 2. I don't know if it's complete yet, or I know it hasn't come out yet, right? The Secret 2?
Well, there have been other movies that have come out. There was another Secret that came out. I wasn't in that one. I know Ricky Byers-Beckwith was in that one, some other people, and it did pretty good. I don't know if there's another Secret 2. I haven't been asked.
There's supposed to be a book. I wanted to ask you, back when you were doing The Secret the first time, some of your colleagues that you had been associated with prior to had already told you about it. You knew that they were going to be involved in it. And with an amalgamation of that magnitude of speakers and people of that level of higher acuity, did anybody realize that it would have the global implications that it did?
I don't think any of us really did. I think we were all hopeful, and we were all, you know, prayerful that it would reach an audience that, you know, would make significant changes in the consciousness, and it did. Now, when you look at Rhonda Byrne and her particular story, you know, she was in television most of her life, and she had reached a point in her life where her father had just died. She'd just gone through a divorce. She was down to almost being broke. And her daughter handed her a small book that contained these spiritual principles, and she was in her late 50s, and she was upset that it took her this long to even hear anything about the universal laws. And that's what she did. She said, wow, if it took me this long to even hear about this stuff, I'm going to use my talents and gifts. And that's when she began to track down and find out who were the best teachers of this in the world. And so she used her gift to pull us all together. And then with her and Drew, with Brother Drew, who was the director, forged this powerful, fast-paced, transformational, movie. And so with her, it rose out of her angst that she was upset. She didn't even know about this stuff. And
right.
Then used her talents and then pulled us all together. And I think we were all hopeful, but, you know, these things, when lightning strikes like that, you know, you can't really predict it.
Right.
You know? and subsequently, people have tried to replicate it, but it hasn't happened. You know, there's been modicum of success with certain movies, but no one has duplicated that one yet. You know, that was
right.
It's still selling. I mean, millions of copies.
Yes.
Translated
yes.
in many languages. And I still get letters and emails and Facebook, people just discovering it today. You know, Argentina, you know, Peru, parts of Germany. I mean, and so it's a key, as they say, the movie still has legs.
Okay. Now, for the listeners out there that are unsure of what the Agape movement is and the specifics, what if someone asks you, Mr. Beckwith, what is Agape?
Agape is an international spiritual community that teaches and practices the fundamental spiritual laws. There are universal laws that govern our reality, and we practice that. It's under the aegis of what is called New Thought Ageless Wisdom. And so there are universal laws of which, when you practice them, you have immediate and long-term results in your life. So it's not superstitious. Superstition is not dogmatic. It is
right.
the lawful aspect of every major religion.
Okay. And you are
that's
the co-founder of the
Soul. That's right? The short version.
Right. Exactly. Without going into further adaptation, you're the co-founder of the Association for Global New Thought. Co-chair
yes.
of the Season for Nonviolence, which I would like to ask you about. We have a movement called the Stop Tour. Our Stop Tour is to stop the nonsense, stop the violence, stop domestic violence, and most of all, stop cyberbullying. And I'm
yeah.
looking at this. It says co-chair of the Season for Nonviolence along with Arun Gandhi. Tell me a little
yes.
bit about that.
Season for Nonviolence began a number of years ago at the 50th memorial anniversary of Mohandas K. Gandhi and the 30th memorial anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Narun Gandhi came to us and said, you know, my grandfather, you know, it's going to be 50 years since he was assassinated, and we remembered that it was Dr. King's 30th year, so we started what is called the Season for Nonviolence, in which between January 30th and April 4th, January 30th is the day that Mohandas K. Gandhi was assassinated. April 4th was the day Dr. King was assassinated. We would mount a campaign reminding people about ahimsa, nonviolence, harmlessness. And so it began at the United Nations. I spoke with the United Nations along with myself, Arun Gandhi, Arya Ratni out of Sri Lanka, Jesse Jackson. There was a number of us that spoke there, to just bring these principles back into the mind of our country, who had become way more violent. And we didn't know, again, that it was going to continue. Now thousands and millions of people do something during this particular season. Some people work on the environment. Some people work on bullying. Some people work on domestic violence. Some people work on speaking up about the mass incarceration of nonviolent felons. You know, so when the season hits, people basically come under the banner of the Season for Nonviolence and basically use that as an opportunity to speak the nonviolence back into the atmosphere again. And so it's been going on for a number of years.
It's amazing how when you give a group of people a period of time, they actually handle it. Isn't that amazing?
Right,
I know. Isn't it amazing how there's 365 days in a year and you could say, hey, for the next 7 days, we're going to stop fighting, and everyone does it. That's
right.
Amazing. It makes you wonder, why can't we do this all the time? Okay, now you have over 8,000 followers. You're one of the authors in The Secret. You're one of the originators of the light visioning process, originator of the light visioning process, purporting to advise youth on. Go ahead, tell us a little bit about the light visioning process.
The light visioning process is a spiritual technology by which you invite the answer from your higher mind or the universal presence as to the next stage of your evolution or the next stage of what you're to do in life. And, you know, so there's what you call visualization. That's the beginning steps in metaphysics. And then there's visioning. Visioning is the advanced step. Visualization, you basically describe what it is that you want in life. People have vision boards. They describe the kind of life they live, and they image it. They mentally see it. They emotionally feel it until they bring about some level of manifestation. Visioning is saying that there's something already within you that's trying to come forward. So instead of trying to tell the universe what you want, you invite the universe to show you what's already within you so that you can set it free. And so that's like the next stage. And so the light visioning process is a technology that puts you in a meditative state, and then you ask certain questions by which your inner self answers, and then you begin to articulate and describe the vision for your life that's already within you. You imagine that if an acorn were to do the light visioning process, it would see an oak tree, you see. And so within us, there's something there already planted. Not like predestination, but great possibilities. Life visioning process helps you articulate them and helps you move into the vibration where you can actually express them.
That's amazing. When I was at your ministry, I realized that your congregation was more physically involved with each other than any ministry I'd ever seen. And I believe that that's something that is so different to me. Where did that come from? And I guess what I'm asking you is, they speak to each other, they look into each other's eyes, they hold each other's hands there. It's a physical ministry. It gets people involved. I guess one could say that throughout the history of churches in ministries, there are people that fall asleep in ministries because they're redundant. ministries obviously are for us to not fall asleep in, and it's kind of hard to get bored when you're physically actively involved. So I guess my question is, where did it come from to physically have people actively involved in the ministry during your congregation?
That was, that just emerged. Nothing that I planned. I was speaking one morning, and I just invited the congregation. At one point, I invited the congregation, the new people, to stand up. That was spontaneous. I invited the people to look into each other's eyes and to say, speak truth into each other, to speak life into each other. That spontaneously evolved. So many things that are at Agape spontaneously evolved. Ricky Byers-Beck with my wife, who plays powerful music under my prayer, that was spontaneous. You know, I invited her to play something, and then that's become what we do. The chanting. So many things just emerged because we're in a field of creativity. It's not like
right.
lockstep rote. So
right.
next week you might come and I may do something else, you know,
and
that may become then a part of, yeah, it may become a part of the service. So my feeling is that people are coming to a spiritual community to change. I mean, an anemic religion, you stay the same. You can be the same person year after year after year. But a dynamic spiritual community, you're actually supposed to be different year after year. You're not supposed to recognize yourself 4 years from now, you see.
That's amazing.
And so I want them engaged in a teaching, and I want them engaged in a practice so they can look back on their life 2 or 3 years from now and say, wow, when I first walked into Agape, I thought like this, I acted like this, I had these habits, but now I don't. And so it's all about engagement and moving ourselves into a particular state in our body, our mind, and our spirit, so we actually can change.
Right, so you can evoke the
hey
change.
Hey, guys, guess what? Easy's back. You know, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Michael, but you guys would not believe this. And this is the type of stuff that actually does happen. It is reality. I'm doing the show. Remember, this is an internet show. This is podcast based. I'm doing the show, and all of a sudden, everything stops. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Guess what? My router just died. Everything died. So right now, I am on a landline phone, and I'm working by my cell phone, and I can click the buttons. And believe it or not, this is the beauty of a PDA phone. I can click buttons,
wow.
and I can work the board on a. I'm on a S Note Samsung phone, and I got a little tiny workstation now. Okay, so we're back. Oh, Easy's back. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Did anybody hear what we were saying?
Of course they did. No, the whole time the show was on live. That's fine. As far as me though, and being able to, there's over like 14 different people in queue
Samsung ought to become one of your sponsors since you shouted them out like that.
You know what? I was just thinking that Samsung. Remember, I'm going to tweet you.
Right.
There you go, Michael. You're the author of The Spiritual Liberation, and that's an award-winning book, the Gold Medal Nautilus Book Award. Tell us a little bit about the spiritual liberation.
Spiritual liberation I think I put 9 chapters in there that basically give people an understanding of, one, that they're spiritual beings having a human incarnation. And then I give, after every chapter, I give a set of practices we call embodiments, where a person can actually begin to embody what was in that particular chapter. The ink of the particular book is in a particular kind of blue, so that when you're reading the book, it moves into your subconscious, so that while you're reading the book, something is happening to you that allows you to deeply embody what you're reading. And so by the time you finish the book, there's just by you reading the book, there's some real change taking place. One of the first people who endorsed my book was David Hawkins, who just passed a few years ago, great psychiatrist, great mystic, who calibrates consciousness with kinesiology. And when he calibrated my book, he wanted to endorse it and said that it is a book that everyone should read, because just by reading it, it's going to shift your perspective. And once your perspective is shifted, then your life is shifted. So that book continues to sell. Many, many colleges are using it in their religious department. It's almost a classic now, even though it's really new.
And it sounds like it's something that will sustain.
Yes. When I wrote the book, because it came out after The Secret, I didn't want it to be a fly-by-night, do these things and you'll get rich kind of book. I want it to be a really substantial book where people, when they read it, they could actually grow spiritually, and it would actually assist them in every area of their life, prosperity, relationships, and most importantly, a greater discovery as to who they are as a spiritual being.
Okay. You're considered the leader in the New Thought movement, a moniker that's clearly apropos. I'm interested in this transcendence. Transcendence is a collection of mixed lectures set to electronic dance music by Stephen Bray and John Podacker. That's got to be incredible. What is that like?
You haven't heard it yet?
No, I haven't. I'm looking at it. When I read that, I thought to myself, I have got to check that out.
You've got to check it. It's called Transcendance. And basically what we did was we took about 9 of my talks, and we lifted my talks, and we began to put music to it. Well, mainly Stephen Bray, who was the former producer of Madonna. He was the drummer in Breakfast Club. You know, he's pretty well known. He wrote he was a co-writer of all the music on The Color Purple in Broadway. That was on Broadway. So he's very, very talented. And John Patoker, award-winning producer as well, engineer. Basically, they took my talks and they created music behind it. Then I went into the studio and overdubbed and did spontaneous rapping. And so when you put all that together, you have the music Transcendance. If you want to see me on video, you can go to my website, agapelive.com, or go to YouTube and type in Michael Bernard Beckwith, Adventure in Paradise, and you'll see one of the videos of the CD.
Wait, I have to ask. You rap, Michael? I heard rap.
Well, you know, Dudley Perkins, who's a great rapper, he calls me one of the greatest MCs out there because he says, on Sunday, he says, you're throwing down and rapping better than any MC I know. That's what he says.
I think we just need to put some music behind you when you're doing your thing, and it's own rap. You know, you have great rap. It doesn't necessarily have to mean music, but I was just curious if you actually do rap, if you freestyle or you write music, or do you do it on the side.
My wife and I have been writing music for over 20 years. We have hundreds of songs that we've written. And a number of CDs, and she's a genius, you know, in terms of her musicality and in her downloading compositions and writing music. And then sometimes I'll have the band strike it up, and I'll just go into a little freestyle thing right before service. I've done that on occasion.
Well, you know, I'm a pretty good beatboxer if you want to show us something.
Let me hear what you got.
I just get down to the nitty-gritty. I want to hear things that people don't hear and have not heard. I've never heard Michael Beckwith rap, so I'm curious on that one.
Let me hear you beat that. Let me hear you beat that.
Just kidding. Oh, you want, okay, here we go.
Go easy.
This is your rapping DJ from L.A. here to say, hey, 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 who loves you, baby? When we turn within where it all begins, we begin to realize there's no original sin. There's an original blessing straight from heaven that's within you. And when you begin to see the great reality, you begin to express your potentiality. There's a moment in time that takes you out of time that allows you to live in divine mind, and then your life is not on hold. Your life boldly an expression of what cannot be told by words, but must be shown by your countenance.
I love it. All right. Easy Way exclusive, you guys. Who has heard Michael Bernard Beckwith rap on radio? We're the first. What?
That's right.
It is the first.
Unbelievable. You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny. We play Park Water football at the same park. We had a bunch of cops teaching us how to play football and the ways of life. We both married girls named Ricky. and we have our parents smile. What is the deal with this? Let's talk about some other similarities before I go way back. Again, we have our STOP tour, and I told you what the STOP tour is about, especially cyberbullying and bullying. Involve yourself with humanitarian outreach program, Season for Nonviolence, and you have programs for the homeless, serving incarcerated individuals and their families. Tell us a little bit about the community work you guys do.
Well, we have the feeding program that we do. It's been going on for many, many years. And we have our, particularly my wife heads up a wonderful program where she takes the choir and other people into Skid Row. We house the Emerging Leaders Program, which is a program put together by Sheriff Clyde Terry, a wonderful brother who got tired of the brothers being rousted in Compton and going in and out of jail. So he began a program that basically in 8 weeks teaches them these particular laws that I teach using my particular teachings and the teachings of Don Miguel Ruiz and others, and changes their life in a very short period of time, and so that his recidivism rate is extremely low. Once you go through that program, most of those men do not go back to jail. They start to tap into the vision that's within them. We have our mentoring program with our youth, Reverend Dr. Leon Campbell and Arlene Hilton do powerful things with our youth program. We have the Freedom School. We house the Freedom School every summer here as well.
Okay.
For the kids, and the Kumba program, which is another kids, another children's program. We have them, again, under the auspices of the Season for Nonviolence, we have local heroes in which we bring in, we go out into the community and find people who are doing good work, and we bring them to the congregation and give them awards for their good work and give them a small monetary gift to help them continue. But we do that to help let the community know about some of the great programs in locally that are doing fine work for our community. So we support other people who are doing good work in the community so that it's not just us, because we can't do everything.
Absolutely.
So we support people who are doing good things as well.
It's always good to recognize those who are making a difference in the community and basically in others' lives, and commend you for doing that, Michael. One thing that we're actually involved in, we work with actually 31 different nonprofits, Easy Way Broadcasting does, and there's as you know, we're both involved in the Ascent Expo. You're one of the speakers with the Ascent Expo, and it's a conscientious-minded, like-minded situation, and it's going to be amazing. Can't wait to see you do your thing. We also work with the Los Angeles Children's Trust Fund, and a piggyback mm-hmm. event actually happening, because we have our own section at the Ascent Expo. It's called the Easy Way Street, which hopefully
right.
you'll stop by and we'll bust a beatbox and we'll rap on Easy Way Street again, you know. So what we're doing actually is we're doing a piggyback from the Ascent Expo on Easy Way Street to an event happening on April 25th for foster care kids. It's with the Los Angeles Children's Trust Fund, and it's an amazing event called One Child at a Time. It's a celebrity flag football game, and there's many
uh-huh.
celebrities like Snoop Dogg and Disney celebrities and tons of stuff, but they're actually every single bit of money that's raised within this game, 100% of all the proceeds goes to the kids, to the foster care program. I'm actually one of the celebrity hosts on it.
That's
and
fantastic.
We're a partner on that event, and we'd love to invite you to be a part of it if you're involved with, you know, nonprofit and community and things. I mean, you'd be
I could possibly referee or be an announcer.
I can totally you see go. You with the referee. You'd look good with the referee shirt. We just got to give you a whistle
sure.
and
or put,
you know,
or put me up in
good.
The booth and let me call the game. I'd have to get in shape to be out there running around playing ball.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, do you play ball? Do you play sports at all? Or are you just wearing suits and?
I haven't played sports in years. I do yoga. I go to the gym 4 days a week. You know, I do physical fitness, but I haven't played any games. You know.
But when we were kids, Michael played. When we were kids, obviously you played football with Warren Moon, coached by Bernard Parks, and this and that. We were athletes at one time, right? Mike,
absolutely. I played football. I ran track at LA High. I ran track at Morehouse College. You know, I was a little bit better than an average athlete.
Well, you know, Warren Moon is actually a part of this. My partner, Casey Thomas with CMT Solutions, is his partner. And if you look at the invite and everything, yeah, Warren Moon's already a part of this. Snoop Dogg, Cameron Boyce from Jesse on Disney, tons of celebrities are already a part of this. And this it's still 2 months out, and it's I think it's going to be an amazing community driven event. It's going to help these foster care kids. It's going to be we're going to have a blast just telling people about it. You know, just being involved with it. And so and you also
What's
mentioned the community.
What is the date? So I
sorry.
Know. What is the date?
The date is April 25th, I believe, but don't quote me on that because I got to actually
I'll check out your website.
Yeah, please. No, definitely check out our website. I mean, come on, you're following me on Twitter. We've been tweeting back and forth for the last
right,
2 days
right.
here. You'll know.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
But, and then the other thing is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Turkey Giveaway, with EJ Jackson, the Turkey Giveaway. I hosted that last year. And they feed over 10,000 people in the community, and it's a blessing just to be a part of it. It's like a giant Costco full of food outside, and people that are less fortunate than others, that are homeless, they come, and they don't just give turkeys away. They actually give entire dinners, like a box of an entire dinner. Each dinner is
right.
like probably $200.
Right. No, I love it. I love it. I mean, that's basically what we have to evolve to as a species, learning how to take care of each other. We have to bring compassion back. Compassion has to become cool. You know, taking care of each other has to become cool, because materialism and consumerism has just run rampant in our society. So everybody's out for little old me, but now we have to be out for we. We have to be out for we. And so all
that
kind of
program. I like that. Don't be out for me. We got to be out for we. That's a shirt right there. Let me ask you this, Michael. When you first start, what was that turning point in your life in the beginning that hit you, that made you want to go this direction, that made you want to?
Well, I tell you, I was
help others like this.
I had attended Morehouse College. I moved back to Los Angeles, and I was a part of a group in which we were seeking to change the world by any means necessary. And I remember sitting in this room, and a voice inside of me said, "If you were to take over the world tomorrow, would it be any different?" And I turned around to see who said it, and there was nobody there. So
wow.
We continued with the meeting, and the voice said again, "If you were to take over the world tomorrow, would it be any different?" So I realized the voice was coming from within me, and so I looked around the room, and I saw the people I was in meeting with, and this one guy was very territorial, another guy had a tremendous ego, another guy was selfish and egomaniac, you know, and I realized, wow, if we were to take over the world, it wouldn't be any different. And so I left that meeting, and I didn't have anything to replace it, so I went back to school. Got accepted to USC. I was a psychobiology major. I was going to go to med school. And in the course of going through school here, I began to have a series of inner experiences. And to make a long story short, I had a strong, lucid dream in which I was killed. And I talk about this in the book a little bit, Spiritual Liberation. I was killed. I was stabbed in the heart, and I was killed. Extremely painful dream. I mean, physically painful, really. And I woke up, and I could see that we were surrounded by this universal presence. And I called the presence love, beauty. I call the presence now love, beauty, intelligence, God, whatever name you want to call this presence. But I could see it everywhere, and I felt at the center of it, and that it truly loved me. And I began to explore what had happened to me. So in my exploration of what had happened to me, I began to understand the deeper meanings of the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Buddha and Krishna and Zoroaster and great mystics like Walter Russell and Dr. Howard Thurman and people like that. And so that was like a turning point. I couldn't get back in the box after I had seen that we really are living, moving, and having our beingness in this great presence that wants to become conscious of itself as our life. And though I, at the time, didn't think I was going to be a public figure, I did know that my life would be dedicated to really embodying, you know, the deeper meaning of this particular experience. And it changed my life, you know, the fear, the doubt, the worry that most people live with on a regular basis dissolved.
Right.
You know, human beings have a tough time, you know. They have a lot of angst, a lot of dread, a lot of fear, a lot of worry.
Right.
It's a normal part of the human experience. And
right.
for a while, that just disappeared. I didn't have any of that. I was just, you know. And so it took me a number of years to integrate that experience. Now, remember, I'm at USC. So this experience, to me, I'm thinking it's kind of pathological, hearing voices and having visions. But, but over the years, I've integrated. It's integrated into me. And now when I have these openings, you know, I just integrate them. And so when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking just of something that I've read about. I'm giving a direct download of my connection with this presence. And then I will read and study, and it validates what I'm being told from within. So that was the greatest turning point as an adult, you know, in my 20s, attending SC, and then subsequently went to a school of ministry. I became a practitioner, went to a school of ministry, and then, you know, the rest is what you've been talking about, founding Agape and the different ministries and programs and speaking around the world. You know, it's just, it keeps on expanding, you know.
What I can tell you, Michael, I'm a very strong person of faith. I'm a man of God, and I've had a miraculous situations happen in my life, and I'll give you one example, and I want to hear your opinion on it. Basically, my dad had lymphoma cancer. He had three lymph nodes in his neck, and the doctor actually said, you know, this is very tough to beat, you know, you may not make it, and doomsday, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and my dad kind of looked at him, and he's like, okay, well, great, you know, can I get out of here? And he's like, well, do you understand what this is? And he's like, yeah, you know, but I have a strong immune system, very tough to beat. Like, he made a joke, right? And yeah. And the reason my dad really, really didn't have too much fear is because his faith is so strong. He's a Catholic, and he's with Knights of Columbus, and his faith is so strong with God, it didn't bother him one bit. He also lost over, you know, close to $1 million in properties with Katrina. You know, he owned Katrina properties in Mississippi, and I mean, he's had so many, and this is kind of my inspiration for what I'm doing, and you know, people say that I'm a public figure, and I own a lot of stuff, and I've helped a lot of people, and we do a lot of things, and he's like my biggest inspiration with what he's gone through. But my point of the story is because of his faith. I believe because of his faith and because of pure faith, the cancer's gone. Like, literally, it's remission. It's gone. He's fine. He's totally normal. And everybody told him the total doomsday story. Like, you're not going to make it. It's this. It's the most aggressive form of cancer possible. Blah blah blah. And via his faith, he's more than fine, you know, and I have tons of stories like that, and, you know, to each his own and whatever people's beliefs are, but, I mean, I've had miraculous things like that happen in my life, you know?
Absolutely, and I've been privileged and honored to be a part of those kind of faith stories for years at Agape and as a spiritual therapist, seeing a diagnosis and a prognosis from the medical establishment, and then seeing the individual rise up and disintegrate and dissolve that particular disease or whatever the case may be. I've seen it over and over and over again. And so I have a tremendous faith and a tremendous conviction that when an individual comes into alignment, you know, with that which is real, the spirit, anything can happen, you know. So I tell people, there was a man that came to me about 17 years ago, and he had a colon cancer. And he told me, came up to me in line, and he said, Reverend Michael, the doctors discovered cancer in my colon. They've given me 6 months to live. And I looked at him. His name was Stuart. I said, Stuart, the doctors can give you a diagnosis, but the prognosis is between you and the spirit. They can't give you a prognosis. That's between you and God.
There you go.
That was 17 years later. He's still alive.
There you go.
You know, so from 6 months to now, he's still alive.
And you mentioned in The Secret, I believe, that you had a vision scenario in which you wanted your vision to be better, and it became better.
Did I mention that? I did. Yeah, I used to wear reading glasses a number of years ago.
Right.
And I just changed my mind about it, and I don't wear reading glasses anymore. You know.
There you go. Mental. Wow. That's that amazing? You know, the other day I was listening to a radio show, and I was listening to these commentators, and somebody, one of the females brought up the Dalai Lama. One of the guys said, can I ask a question? And the lady said yes. And the guy said, is the Dalai Lama a girl or a guy? She said, are you serious? And the guy said, yes, I'm serious. So they all started cracking up laughing. So the reason why I'm asking that is the synthesis dialogues. When you did the synthesis dialogues and you were able to, that, I mean, where does that rank, Michael? I'm serious. I mean, when we were kids, we're running around, and there's cops pulling us up. We're going, hey, aren't you Alice's son? Hey, aren't you getting into your son? Now switch reels to all these years later, and you work with the Dalai Lama. I mean, what's
well,
bigger
I tell
than
you
that?
What, I had that kind of an experience one time. One time I was sitting next to him facilitating this meeting of world-class beings, you know, healers and spiritual adepts and politicians, and I'm facilitating the meeting. And I had that thought, how did I get here? How did that boy from living on Orange Drive
get here?
You know, and I had a similar moment. But, you know, whatever you're interested in, you kind of draw to yourself your destiny. And
right.
So being interested in world peace, being interested in growing spiritually, being interested in being of service to humanity, brought into my orbit, or I came into their orbit, people like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, people like Nelson Mandela, who I met and was able to give the Season for Nonviolence Award to and spend time with him.
Wow.
You know, people like Ariaratne, who's Gandhi of Sri Lanka. You know, so I've had the privilege of meeting these individuals. And Bishop Tutu, we received our induction into the Morehouse College Order of Preachers together, you know, and we had a great time together. And so I just feel humbled by it. Every time you meet these kind of beings, it makes you a better person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so His Holiness, I've had an opportunity to work with Him on numerous occasions. And I'll share one story, two stories, but really one. We were having lunch at one point, and someone came and whispered in his ear that one of his monks had been killed in the in a Chinese prison. And you could see the sadness wash over him, and then he rose up again. You can feel this deep, out of the sadness, you could see this deep sense of love and compassion come over him as well. So even though he was sad, the love and the compassion was not diminished. That was very interesting to watch. And another time he was sharing a story in which one of his monks, who had been tortured for many years within the Chinese government, Chinese prison, by the government, the Chinese government. And just so you know, the Dalai Lama always separates the Chinese people from the government. He doesn't say they're the same thing. You know, he loves the Chinese people. Has nothing against the Chinese people at all. But he was talking about these particular governmental officials who were torturing the monk. So the monk was finally freed a few years later, and he had to have a debriefing session with His Holiness. His Holiness is asking him questions, and finally, the monk says, you know, I only became afraid one time. And Dalai Lama said, you only became afraid of losing your life just once? He said, no, I never was afraid of losing my life. I only became afraid of losing my compassion for my tormentors one time. That's powerful.
Wow. I'm
thinking about what's going on in your head when you talk with all the experience that you had, and I know that you've been on so many different talk shows and you've been on Oprah. Okay, what's the top thing that sticks out in your head from being on that show that she said to you?
That Oprah said.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it when she re-quoted my affirmation. She, you know, I gave an affirmation was, I'm available to more good that I could possibly imagine, experience, or ever realize before. She put that out there, and then I shared with her about the power of changing the conversation. I shared that the world is held together by a synergetic network of conversations that become agreements and ultimately become experience. And I thanked her for changing the conversation, and then she began to use that, you know, we're changing the conversation. So I made some impact there. And I liked it when I was on there one of the times. I was on there a couple of times I was on there, I was actually working with a person in the audience, and I could visibly see when I was working with her with forgiveness, her countenance change. I could visibly see the healing. And another time on there with me and Ed Bacon and Elizabeth Lesser, we were doing a class, and people were calling in with their issues, and we could visibly see the impact that it was having on people. And I can remember me and Ed Bacon were talking about the fact that it was not a crime or a sin for an individual to be gay, you know, and I didn't realize that was going to be that much of an impact. But it went through the nation. And the next day, I was in the gymnasium, and this guy comes up to me, very muscular, and he's crying. And he says, can I talk to you for a moment? I didn't know the gentleman. And I said, sure. And he says, you know, I'm gay. My mother hasn't spoken to me in 12 years when I told her. She saw you on Oprah and gave me a call and apologized. And now I'm flying back home now to be united with my mom, who I haven't seen in 12 years. He's crying in the gym with me.
That's amazing.
You know,
that's incredible.
And so those kind of things, you know, Oprah has such a large reach that it gave me the opportunity via her and her good work to actually change some lives, you know.
Yeah, what do you think differentiates you from all the other speakers and all the other preachers and everything?
You know, if I hear somebody speak, I can tell you within 2 or 3 minutes whether they're talking about something or whether they're talking from something. There's many people who are very studied and very learned and has tremendous academic propensity, you know, very articulate, very motivational. And then there are the other people who've actually had a direct contact with the presence and have integrated it. And so I think with me is that, you know, I actually have had a direct encounter with the divine presence that's more real to me than the chair I'm sitting on. And so when I'm speaking or praying, you know, I'm not just telling you about something that I know about. I'm telling you something that I know. And
right.
So I think that there's very good ministers out there who have gone through tremendous years of study and are very academically inclined. They can quote scripture left and right. But if they hadn't had an encounter with the presence, you know, then it's like empty calories, or it's motivational, but it's not transformational, you know.
There you go.
And in some of my colleagues who I love very much, they've had a true calling, but they make one mistake. They relegate their calling to a denomination, and the presence is so large it can't fit into a denomination. So once you try to fit an infinite presence into a denomination, you already cut yourself off from it, you know.
There you go.
Not bad people. No. Very good people.
You're right, and I'm going to flip this a little bit. You actually know one of my partners. We're doing a network together called E2N, Elevation Entertainment Network. Her name is Shelley Hunt from The Secret, I believe it is. You guys were together. You're going to be on The Next Secret, or you were together, you did something together on The Secret. How do you know Shelley?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I know so many people. I'm trying to bring her to mind right now. I hear the name.
Maybe if I could tell you a little bit about her. She's a motivational speaker. She's the founder of Women of Global Change, and she's a business strategist. She's very, very good at what she does. Hunter Lisa Rice.
You know what? I think that we run into each other in certain very powerful circles of seeking to change the consciousness of humanity. You meet good people like that. And it just makes you better. You know what I mean? When you meet people who are sincere about the work that they're doing, it just gives you more fuel to keep going.
I agree 100%. Speaking of meeting people, let's go to your fan experiences and meeting people. what's some of the most interesting, maybe name two or three of the most interesting fan experiences you've encountered?
Is it fan? People that, you mean fans?
Fans,
people,
fans, supporters, fans.
Man, you know when you're one of the Jacksons, girls sneak into your hotel rooms and stuff like that? Do you have any outrageous fan stories, Michael?
I don't have any outrageous fan stories. I'm always surprised at certain people that I admire, and they tell me, oh, my God, I've been influenced by your work. You know, I was at a conference a few months ago called the Success 3.0 Conference, and John Mackey, the founder of Whole Foods, Mark Gaffney, a number of people were there, and they brought together all of these very highly successful business people, but people who were making a difference in the world. And many of the people that I had a chance to hear speak, you know, I'd interview them afterwards, and they would say, no, thank you. We've studied your work. The reason why we're doing what we're doing is because we've been impacted by your teachings. And I had no idea about that. So these people who had gone on to make millions of dollars, but not just make millions of dollars, but actually make a difference in the world, had been influenced by some of my tapes or books or CDs. It really, I didn't know my you feel a certain something when you realize that your reach has gotten that far, that the actual movers and shakers in the business field are actually using your work to extend their reach. I felt really good about that.
That's amazing. Now, guys, that's amazing, Michael. I'm going to try to answer some callers here. Now, mind you guys, if you guys are tuning in, there's a couple people that are probably tuning in here a little bit later. We had a technical difficulty experience with the web and the wonderful world of the web, and the router went out. And so right now I'm working on a little dinky NCBC cell phone, and I'm on the phone. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real. And so if I can't answer you guys, I know that there's a lot of things planned for this show, and people are tweeting me and going, hey, you know, why can't we talk? And okay, so I'm going to try this. I've been working some angles here. I'm going to try and see if I can answer a call
And no, it doesn't work on the phone. Doesn't seem to be answering the call. I apologize, guys. I'm trying to bring in some callers here. I know a bunch of people have questions. There's over 14 people in the queue. But unfortunately, the board is not allowing us to answer the calls. I know we had other segments and whatnot. So unfortunately, guys, you're going to have to just kind of sit back and listen and enjoy. And if you have any questions, here's what we're going to do. If you go to Easy Way Broadcast on Twitter, you can ask your questions. I will announce who you are, your handle, tell people to follow you, and ask your questions directly to Michael. Normally, we let you do this on your own, but unfortunately, because of technical difficulties today, we just can't do it. And today's show is brought to you by NetworkerOnWheels.com. We really appreciate Networker on Wheels. And this is interesting. And if you guys missed it, make sure you go back to the archive and listen to me beatboxing and Michael rapping. First time ever.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You know we got to do that on stage, Michael, at the SN Expo. We got to do a little performance on stage.
There you go. There you go. As soon as he finishes speaking, he can come over there. All right.
Well, you know, actually, Michael, we actually work with a program called Humanitarian Radio. And
right.
Sunday is at 3 o'clock, and they're an amazing program. They actually wanted to have you involved in the honoring ceremony, an awards thing that they're going to be doing in our section. So hopefully after you're done speaking on stage at the Ascent Expo and doing what you're doing, you can cruise. I know Dante is probably going to kidnap you and bring you over, but there's a couple of people that definitely wanted to recognize the wonderful work that you've done. And that's Humanitarian Radio.
I can be around for a brief period of time. I'll be around for signed books and to meet people. I'm going to have to leave in a couple of hours after because I'm flying to D.C. I'm speaking at Howard University on Sunday.
And so, cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. More
so
house.
Sounds like Howard. Sounds like we have a similar life, always moving and grooving, and very appreciative of our teams that keep us sane. Let's talk a little bit about the teams and the people that are behind you.
Yes. You know, I have, first of all, here in my office, I have a woman by the name of Lee Simran Brown, who organizes my office, extremely creative, high executive, yogi, practitioner, spiritual being. I have Jackie Simone Elliott, who's in my office. I have people that, and it's just a lot of love, and they have the best interest of Agape and me at hand. I have a tremendous board of trustees. The president is Sandra Williams, who is an attorney over at CBS, and I have powerful people. I could go on. If I start naming names, Monique Hudson, who brought the Endeavor to Los Angeles. She works at the Science Center. She's on my board. I have strong board members that have do very powerful things. I have a strong ministerial staff, individuals like former attorney Reverend Cheryl Ward, who runs my university, Reverend Kathleen McNamara, who runs my prayer ministry, Reverend Coco Stewart, who runs my One from the Heart team, Reverend Leon Campbell, who runs from youth ministry. I have Ricky Beebe, who runs the entire music and arts division. I have powerful people around me who no slouches, you know, they're very powerful in their own right. And I'm leaving out a lot of people because it takes a lot, you know, to do this spiritual community. You know, Reverend Julie, Julie Moret, who handles our great speaker, great a new author, does our volunteer ministry. I can go on and on with people. Probably shouldn't have named names, you know, because people are listening. Well, you didn't name Reverend Greta.
I think you should name names. You're always going to want to give credit to your team and to the people that support you and help you. And by the way, guys, I think I might have been able to do something. I think I might be able to bring a couple of you guys online here to talk to Michael, myself, or Dante. We have a caller. I'm hoping this works. 714-3080. Are you there? Caller 714-3080.
Yes, I am here.
What's your name, caller, and where are you calling from?
Ryan Torres from Orange County.
Well, we have the wonderful Michael Bernard Beckwith on the line as our guest here in Easy Talk Live. My name is Eric Zuli, and we have Dante co-hosting with us. What's your question?
How you doing, Dr. Beckwith? I just had a question. Do you believe that all religions lead to heaven?
I think that all true religions lead to an awakening which, as Jesus taught, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven, the word heaven itself from the Greek means expanded good or ever-expanding good. And so if it's a true religion, and that is that teaches that the kingdom of God is within, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and gives you spiritual practices around love and forgiveness and generosity and kindness, then it leads you to the realm of ever-expanding good, which is heaven. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate you calling. So we're going to go ahead and grab another caller here. 949-864, last digits 864. Caller, you're on live. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 949-864, are you there? Okay, we got another caller here. I hope this is working here. Okay, we got another caller, 702-5173. 702 area code 5173. You're on air on Easy Talk Live. The last four digits of your number is 5173. You're on live. You can ask myself, Michael, or Dante a question. Okay, we're going to go ahead and grab caller 9250. This is the last caller, guys, so if we pick you up, you know, make sure you talk. Don't be shy. We love hearing from people. 9250166. 9250166.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me? This is
Tamara. Yeah, good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tamara. I'm calling from the Bay Area, and I'm a regular love streamer. I live stream Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and Revelation.
Ah.
And I love you, Michael.
Outstanding. You went to my peeps.
Where do you live stream from? Bay Area, California. Lafayette,
okay.
California.
Very good, very good.
So I actually didn't raise my hand, but I was just thinking today, Michael, one of the things you've said that's touched me very deeply, you talk about the difference between spiritual perfection and spiritual practice. And I wonder if you could just talk about that a little, how you do your spiritual practice while you're working through the human experience and not always feeling in touch with spirit.
Right. What we teach mainly is that you have to have a spiritual practice that keeps you in tune with who and what you really are spiritually, because the human experience is tough. There's so much good goes on in the human experience, so much challenge. The world of phenomena is always changing. So spiritual practice keeps you in alignment with who you are intrinsically. That is the love, the peace, the harmony, the joy, the intelligence. All that is already within you, which is seeking to bring it out. So we don't teach perfectionism. We teach that you are an infinite being always unfolding to reveal the perfect order of harmony and peace and love. And so it's spiritual practice, you know, it's like an Olympic athlete. Some days they don't feel like running. Some days they do. But if you have a level of practice, you do it even when you don't feel like it. And then
right.
the fruitage of that is that there's greater harmony in your life and greater peace in your life. And you discover there's greater harmony and peace even when things aren't going well. That's a very high state of awareness, that even when things aren't going well, you can still come back to a level of peace. But that happens with practice. Practice brings about spiritual insight.
Yes, I find when things are going better, Michael, that I'm in more joy than I've ever been and more happiness. But I feel like there's a hurdle yet for me where when a lot of things are happening that are difficult, I'll do my practice, but I don't feel that joy. And
right.
So then that's when I try and remember you saying it's practice, not perfection.
Absolutely.
But my intention, I'm saying out loud on the radio here, my intention is to be in joy and peace of mind no matter the circumstances.
That's a high intention. That's a very high intention, and it's beautiful because most people want their happiness based on an external condition. So you're inviting happiness and peace to come in no matter what, which is a very high state of awareness. So I applaud you for going for it.
Thank you.
All right, caller.
Love
Thank you so much
Thanks.
For calling in. We hope
Thank
that you follow
you
Easy Way Broadcast for some of our other programs, and we appreciate you for calling in and interacting with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
And we're going to go ahead and grab another caller here if we can. There we go. Okay, we got 909-4109. Caller 909-4109. You're on Easy Talk Live with Eric Zulli, Michael Beckwith, and Dante. You there?
Yes. Hello, Dr. Beckwith. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello. Outstanding.
Wonderful. My question for you is, teach me about Jesus. Teach me about his presence. Teach me about the Holy Spirit. Can you just
wow.
elaborate
you're,
more
you're,
on that?
You're asking an awful lot for a very brief few moments on. Jesus is called the great example, not the great exception, which means he represents the next stage of human evolution, the next stage of where we all can be. So when he said, "The greater things than these shall ye do," he wasn't speaking metaphorically. He was speaking really, that there is a presence within us all. You know, there's an old statement by, I think it was Meister Eckhart, that said that God begot but one Son, but the Eternal is forever beginning the only begotten, meaning that the presence of God can only beget itself. So Jesus is not the exception, he's the example. The Holy Spirit is what is referred to as that which allows you, a faculty within you, that allows you to allow for that the spiritual realm to become tangible to you. It's an activity of consciousness that happens when you open up and pray and meditate. So oftentimes people would try to hang on to Jesus for salvation, and it's not a bad thing, it's just that you have to do your own work. You know, it's like you can believe in your science teacher, but eventually you got to understand the science behind what the teacher is teaching. You can believe in Jesus, but eventually you have to do what Jesus did. You have to come away from the masses. You've got to meditate. You've got to have a direct insight into the divine, and then your spiritual genius will shine just as Jesus' spiritual genius shined.
Amen. I agree with that, and I definitely do. I definitely agree that it's a revealing, it's a revelation of his relationship with you, and as you say, as individually, that we actually come into oneness with him, and
yes.
It's basically where he starts being revealed more of who he is, and it's in these last days, as we call it, is. That's what it is. It's the great revealing of himself.
Absolutely. Revelation is one of my favorite words. And thanks for the call. You know, when you talk about the last days in time, what that means is the vibration is speeding up very fast right now, so that time is not what it used to be. And it's more. And eternity is breaking into time more and more. And so
yes.
It is the last days in time and more into that expanded awareness. Of that which is real, but this is deep. We're getting into all this on a radio program.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, you never know what's going to happen with the Easy Way, man. We're God uses us as a vehicle, and we try to do amazing things with it. So, caller, thank you so much for calling in. And again, we're at Easy Way Broadcast. If you have any other questions, we really appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and grab one more caller. We have time for one more caller, and then I got a special question for Michael. I hope he's ready. All right, we got 323-3658. 323-658. You're on air with Eric Zulli, Michael Beckwith, and Dante on Easy Talk Live.
Has anyone ever played with your dick?
Whoa. That goes bye-bye. Sometimes we get that on podcasts. We apologize. And, you know, my uncle's name is Dick, so you never know what they were talking about. Anyway, Michael, so back to all the wonderful things that we're doing here in our life. So let me ask you this. Being a public figure, knowing that you are an inspiration and you are a role model, you are somebody that is leading a lot of people are following you, you know, what do you think is the most what do you think is the most powerful thing that you can do with the gift you've been given?
I think it's what I'm doing. You know, for me, I wake up and I, as I advise other people, I have a spiritual practice. And so I don't, a day does not go by without me meditating, without me praying, and without me submitting myself to the presence of excellence and beauty and intelligence. I turn myself over to that. And so what's most important to me, as it has always been over the years, is my own relationship to the divine and my own evolution, which then allows me to be a servant. I cannot teach or serve in any way in which I haven't had the contact myself. So when I look at the way that the Spirit is using me in terms of the expanded nature of my community, the outreach of my books and CDs and world travel, you know, it's really an expanded expression of my own inner work. And so that's
okay.
The most important
thing.
And so thing.
Now you're involved in the Ascend Expo. Let's go to a couple. Let's talk, because this thing's coming up in about 3 days. The Ascend Expo is a conscientious-minded, like-minded giant. I look at it like a giant magic show or a NAMM, or it's a giant convention for like-minded individuals, business owners that want to make a difference, all coming
right.
together in one place. And you're going to be speaking Friday early in the morning, correct?
11 o'clock, 11 a.m., I will be speaking, yes.
11 a.m. Friday. Now, how did you get involved with the Ascend Expo? I'm curious myself.
Well, I was invited to be a speaker, basically. Individuals, brother name of Bruce from Hemp International, had been to Agape, liked my work, supports the work, put a lot of the energy and finances behind this particular situation. So the individuals called me and asked me to speak as a favor to Brother Bruce, who's always doing some creative, innovative things. I said yes. And when I see what it's about in terms of bringing the culture creatives together, the individuals who are seeking to do innovative and creative things in business and finance, and reframe what success is, you know, I'm glad to be there, because I think we need to reframe what real success is and reframe what this particular time in human history is all about, and stake our claim to what real success is and make a mighty difference on the planet at this time in human history. So I was invited to speak. And
I love the fact that it's always, you know, you're always about making a difference, and you know, can't wait to hear you speak. What do you think about, you know, on air? We have a whole bunch of people listening, and I don't know if you know, but we are syndicated to FM radio in the UK with Soul Central Magazine, as well as Genesis Radio Birmingham.
Beautiful.
We have over 5 different magazines that take our programming and syndicate it. We have, you know, we're very viral when we do things, so a lot of people do listen to the program. What do you think about some sort of contest, some sort of idea to start hitting Twitter, start hitting Facebook and Instagram, and we can give away some tickets for the Ascend Expo. We can give away, you know, some situations that would entice people to get more involved with this program. You know, and if they're really lucky, maybe the 100th caller can hear you and me beatbox and rap again. Who knows? But
they may not want to win that, but they probably do want to win getting in and participating in a lot of the good dialogue and inspiration is going to take place. Yeah, so you're asking me my opinion of you having a contest? I think you should. I think you should open it up and give some tickets away. Absolutely.
All right, guys, so what we're going to do is we have a lot of different these tickets are about $40 a piece for a whole day at the Los Angeles Convention Center at the Sun Expo, happening on February 27th, 28th, and March 1st. We also have premium tickets, which are worth $120 a piece, and they're special VIP afterwards tickets. And so I think me and Michael will talk offline. We'll brainstorm on a cool little contest. And obviously, to be eligible to receive these, you have to follow me at Easy Way Broadcast or Eric Zuli, or obviously Michael Bernard Beckwith, which I believe is Dr. Michael BB, correct?
What you asked me my email? Is that what you're asking me?
Your Twitter, your social media.
Oh yeah, right. You said it right. Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Michael BB. So follow either
Michael
Dr.
BB,
Michael BB, Easy Way Broadcast, or Eric Zuli. Actually, you got to follow them all. You got to click the button on all of them, and we'll figure out something. We'll figure out something fun, and you know, we'll give you guys some tickets to come have a good time. And I mean, there's 144,000 square feet of good-hearted individuals. I think that's so cool. And hey, Dante, you still with us? Did I take over my show? Sorry.
Yes. That's okay, Michael.
You know what?
I got to go because I got to do another program.
I got to do another program in about 1 minute.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. He's got to go. So we'll invite Michael back for a later date. Michael, we'll see you at the Ascend Expo. Thank you for coming on. God bless. Great show.
Absolutely, and that is correct.
Michael, hey, it was a pleasure meeting you, man.
Dr.
Thanks
Michael
for coming
BB.
And doing it the easy way. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll see you guys on Friday.
Yes.
Yes. We'll see us on Friday. We will be beatboxing, rapping once again.
And you know, they can go to agapelive.com if they want to know about how to live stream and see me on a weekly basis or wherever I'm traveling around the world as well.
Beautiful.
AgapeLive.com. Got it. All right. And hashtag Easy Way, guys. Hashtag AgapeLive. It was nice meeting you, Michael.
You
thanks for coming on the
good
show.
Good meeting you. Peace and blessings.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Dante, man, I want to say thank you for bringing your cousin on, Michael Bernard Beckwith, and I think he's definitely going to remember. He's going to remember this interview. He's going to leave this interview scratching his head and going, who is this easy dude? What the heck?
Who was that freaking caller that asked that wacky question?
But we're still on air, you know. We are still on air, so the show is not over yet. We'll go into that. But we got a whole bunch of callers. You know, I don't know. But I'm gonna do something crazy, guys. I'm gonna do something crazy. We have 14 minutes left in the show. Remember, today's show is a special show. We are not doing any commercials in the show. This was a special show. Normally, our show is Thursday at 10:30 a.m. It's a morning show. The lines are open, guys. The lines are open. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love to hear your comments, and we'd love to hear any questions that you have. The lines are open, so go ahead and talk. We're just gonna keep on talking ourselves, and if you want to join in, you're more than welcome. I just opened about 5 different lines, so hopefully we don't have shy callers.
Jump in, people. I'm actually sitting in my doctor's office. I've already gone through the prep. My doctor's going to walk in any second now. Any second now, my doctor's going to walk in and go, so how you doing? I'm going to have to click off.
All right. Well,
he's very transformational. He's very intelligent. He's very intrinsically, theoretically sound, tight. I love everything about what he speaks about. When I went to the Agape Church, experience was uplifting. It was enveloping. It evoked something that made me not nervous. That made me not shy. You're willing to speak to people. It's amazing. It's transformational. I will say that it's transformational, the Agape experience.
He is an amazing individual. And let me go over, guys, a little bit about what's coming up and what the Ascend Expo is and how you can get involved. First of all, you can go to Ascend Expo, ASCENTExpo.com for more information. It is 144,000 square feet at the Los Angeles Convention Center with over 40 speakers, I believe it is, top-level, top-notch speakers. We have top-level performers. Andrew Lane, who's a multi-platinum producer. He's done Hannah Montana and High School Musical and numerous other things with many, many celebrities. He's the music director on it. We have a section called Easy Way Street. We have everybody from the president of LaTip International with over 120,000 CEOs, 500 chapters. We have Bill Duke from Predator. We have the co-founder of E! Entertainment. We have Shelley Hunt. We have Sam Sarpong. We have we have so many different celebrities and press and this. Plus, the carpet on this event, guys, is 40 feet long, 40 feet long, and the press I hear is immaculate. It's great. It's a business Hollywood expo, and you do not want to miss it. Tickets are not too expensive. Yeah, again, you can go to ascendexpo.com, go to tickets, and our promo code, our discount code is EZ, letter E, letter Z, dash special. And you can hit us up at Easy Way Broadcast on Twitter or Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook if you want to, you know, get involved, you know, follow the movement. And again, I want to also let everybody know for $10, you can come see Snoop Dogg. For $10, you can see Cameron Boyce from Disney. You can see me, Eric Zulli. You can see numerous celebrities pulling flags off of others playing football for a great cause. $10, that's it. On behalf of the Los Angeles Children's Trust Fund. Shout out to Maria Melton. They will be there at, on Easy Street as well, promoting this. This is going to be, I mean, it holds about 6,000 different people. They'd rather have the people packed than charge big ticket pricing. And I know to see these type of celebrities and whatever, it's usually about a minimum $50. So I urge everybody to get involved. It's going to be April 25th. It's going to be amazing. I'm proud to be one of the celebrity hosts on this event, as well as a partner. Easyway Broadcasting is a partner with it. If you want to know more information, just keep on following. It's going to be awesome. And we have an application, guys. So if you want to download my app, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y, you just go to your Google Play store on your phone or tablet, or your Apple store on your phone or tablet, and you can have the Easy Way right in your pocket. That is going to be a requirement to download if you want the VIP, a tremendous access on the whole Easy Way Street and what we're doing. We're asking everybody to download that. We're also going to have, and we'll be announcing this on Twitter and Facebook, we're going to have a special text message that you can actually text Easy Way to if you want to be a part of our movement and everything that we're doing. For those of you guys that are tuning in that may be Michael Beckwith fans and don't know about Easy Way, we are Easy Way Broadcasting. We're powered by WTV Networks. We always do the coolest behind the scenes and news, and we help interact celebrities with their fans, and we always interview celebrities. We always do behind the scenes. We're always, I said that twice, we're on music videos. We're just always with business people and corporate and Hollywood, and we do Hollywood the Easy Way. It's hashtag Easy Way. We have over 55 different celebrity ambassadors, and we have top-notch motivational speakers and fundraiser people, and we're just involved with a lot of stuff, trying to do good, trying to help others, and just making it work. You can check out easywaybroadcasting.com, and we're just moving and grooving. Dante is our co-host today. He's our vice president for Easy Way Broadcasting, and if you don't know about us, guys, definitely just check us out, Easy Way Broadcasting, E-R-I-C-Z-U-L-E-Y on Twitter, same thing on Instagram as well as Facebook. We also have a group which helps actually connect you to establish individuals for free. You just got to, be accepted. It's called Hollywood the Easy Way on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/groups/HWTEW, Hollywood the Easy, whatever the abbreviations for Hollywood the Easy Way is. This has been an amazing, jam-packed show. We really appreciate everybody that has called in. And again, guys, we apologize. Normally, this is a really fun show with sound effects and commercials and MP3s and music and a whole bunch of great stuff, but unfortunately, we had technical difficulties due to a router malfunction, but we were able to make it happen, and we appreciate everybody. I am a celebrity host, and we have a PR marketing company, and we can help anybody enhance what they're doing the Easy Way, and we've done it for a while. And so we really appreciate everybody that tuned in today. Again, this is Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. That's WTV.me. If you want to check out more information, you can check out our new blog post on the Ascent Expo. And, just come down. Come hang out with us. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we'd love to hear about what you are up to and what you're trying to do and how we can help you. So please tune in with us, guys. This has been Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTV Networks. Easy Talk Live special Tuesday. And we really appreciate everybody. So hopefully we see you at the Ascent Expo, guys. I'm Eric Zulli, host of Easy Way Broadcasting, Easy Talk Live. And check us out Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Check us out Sunday, 3 p.m. on Humanitarian Radio, and Monday, 10 a.m., Baby Boomers Live with Aretha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and James Zulli, my dad, Knights of Columbus. So we appreciate you guys, and sorry this show wasn't what we expected it to be. Unfortunately, we had technical difficulties. It was hard to get everybody in. But if I don't know if the Ascent Expo corporate team is there. I've been trying to bring people in. If they are, anybody from the Ascent Expo corporate team there? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, no?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Who's that?
This is Joseph.
Joseph! Okay, we got Joseph. Who else do we have from the Ascent Expo corporate team? Okay, we got Joseph. Hey, Joseph, introduce yourself. Tell everybody what's going on with you.
Hi, my name is Joseph DeMarco, and I work with Hemp Inc. and the Ascent Expo. We're trying to create an event that is going to bring together all the people that are going to change the world. That is our intent. And it's people like yourself that believe in sustainability, ecology, equanimity between men and women in all things, fairness. And I think that includes probably, you know, a majority of all the people in the world, to be honest with you. There's been a term thrown around called the Illuminati. That's like the 1%. We're open to inviting them as well to entertain a new idea, a new belief system about how to operate in the world. Our company, Hemp Inc., is a company that believes that if we can get industrial hemp to be legal in America, that we can make a major change in the world. Industrial hemp, you need to research about it, and you'll find that there's over thousands of products that can be made out of it. Everything from biofuel to food to plastics to building materials. And we are pushing as hard as we can to make that happen. And it would be a dramatic change on the planet if we can do that. So we're working on that. One of the people that's working with us is Daniel Brinkley, whom you might have heard of. He is in a movie from years ago called Saved by the Light. And he is
he'll be speaking Saturday.
Sorry?
Yeah, he'll be speaking on Saturday. He'll be speaking on Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Yep, Saturday afternoon he'll be speaking. He's a major force in regards to trying to get industrial hemp regulated, not to be confused with marijuana. As well, on Saturday, Dr. Patch Adams will be speaking. And Robin Williams played his role in the movie Patch Adams. He's a real individual, an amazing individual that travels all around the world speaking and healing people. The broadness and scope of the event is going to include things like yoga, high consciousness movies, healing, incredible conscious business people, art installations. They're Play 60, right? I don't think we mentioned that today. I'm not sure, but we're going to have a football clinic that's run by Mark Jackson, All Pro, for underprivileged children inside the event. Music, that's going to be amazing. Comedy, some of the hottest dancers in L.A. will be performing. Amazing stuff. Something for everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
There you go.
There you go.
So thank you.
It's going to be interesting. It really is. Higher consciousness, higher conscious creatives, philanthropy, motivational speaking, entertainment, family fun. It's going to be interesting. And there will be a lot of individual solo artists who are launching their careers at this event. This event is going to have at least a minimum of 12 documentary films going on at the same time during the time, the three-day period. There will be at least 12 documentary films being shot. That's incredible. I've never seen any documentary film shot at an event before.
We're going to, you know, in the music area, I think there's going to be some people in the acting and movie area as well. But in the music area, we have at least 8 performers that are Grammy Award-winning songwriters. And we have Grammy Award-winning producers that will be there. So if you want to connect with the music industry,
this
is a great place to show up to. These people are going to be there in the flesh. The networking opportunities are just off the planet.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's the networking event of the decade.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Anyone trying to launch your career, that's the building to be in.
Don't forget about the full reality panel. There's all the celebrities, they're doing a 2-hour panel on stage, and
Right.
They're all going to be there. And Joseph, thank you so much for joining us, man. We're kind of out of time. I appreciate it. So, you know, thank you for representing us in Expo and Hemp Inc. And you know, we're looking forward to the Sun Expo, guys. So thank you so much for everybody that tuned in and enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed the interview. And first time heard, Michael beatboxing with EZ. And that's how we do it. It's always fun and different. You never know what you're going to get. But make sure, guys, you follow us on Twitter, Easy Way Broadcast. And, you know, you'll find out how to get your free tickets to the Ascent Expo. So, Joseph, Dante, you know, appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody that tuned in. Michael Bernard Beckwith, thank you so much for coming on the show once again. And, guys, tune in next Thursday. Not this Thursday, because we're not going to be doing a show this Thursday, but next Thursday, 10:30 a.m., we'll be doing it the easy way once again. All right, guys, till next time.
There you go. Thank you.